There is a sense in which Christianity, of course, is made up of the church. But there's also a sense in which Christianity is made up of individuals. You see, it's people who make up the church. And our faith and what we believe in and who we are is always very much individual. I want to spend the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, talking about three individuals. And they were individuals that came into contact with Jesus. And how the life of Jesus, the way of Jesus, who and what He was, made an impact on their lives. And that to me is such a fascinating thing. When we talked about what we would preach on during the week, talked about Jesus being America's only hope, and He is. Well, I want to demonstrate in these three stories, the three individuals that we'll talk about this week, the kind of impact Jesus not only can make in their lives, but can make in your life. You know, everything written in the Bible is not just some old story that was written a long time ago. They were there because God wanted people to understand how much He loves them and how He wants to be a part of their lives individually and personally and meaningfully. So the first story I want us to look at is a fellow named Zacchaeus. Now, if you ever went to Sunday school, you learned about Zacchaeus, that wee little man, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And you sang the song. And that song is older than any of us. It's been around a very, very long time. And it's a wonderful little song to teach to children. But I want us to look a little deeper into the story of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the world and has been excavated many, many times looking at its history. But he was passing through Jericho. Jericho was on the road between Jerusalem and the Jordan River. And many, many people passed through Jericho because whenever the Jews would go back and forth from Jerusalem up to Galilee, they would go down to the Jordan River, many times cross the river, go up the river, and then cross back over to go into Galilee. They didn't want to go through Samaria, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. And it says, behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector. I think King James calls him a publican. If you ask people in Britain today what a publican is, it's somebody who works at a pub. But that's not the idea of what this was. This was a tax gatherer. Somebody that collected taxes not for the Jews, but from the Jews for Rome. He was probably the most despised man in all of Jericho. He was not just the tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Now, the way the Romans collected taxes in those days was a little different than our situation. They collected taxes by the city. Rome would look and see, well, how big is that city and how well do you do financially? And they would set a quota for the tax collector. You collect this much taxes every year. And if the tax collector collected more than that amount, whatever he collected more was his own. In other words, he began working for himself. Now here is a tax collector who has the ability to have the Roman army behind him collecting taxes. And so it would have been very easy for a tax collector in those days to have been very abusive toward people and try to rip them off and do various things. Well, in some cases, tax collectors did that. And so they had a very bad name when it came to being around the Jews. Furthermore, whenever you think about being a Jew, you wanted your money to go to the temple. You wanted to support your own. To give it to Rome meant that you were supporting the Roman emperor. And the Roman emperor had called himself God. You didn't want your money going to other gods. You didn't want to be a support to something that was there. So Zacchaeus, one of the reasons he was hated so much was everybody said, well, now there is a compromiser with the enemy. And we don't want to have anything to do with him. Well, here was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And you can imagine all of the jealousy and all of the despising that was taking place among the people in Jericho. And I would think that Zacchaeus would probably be the most despised man in all of that city. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. No doubt that he had heard stories about Jesus. People talk. Jesus had been healing people for a long time. He is making people who are blind to be able to see. He was healing lepers. He was healing all kinds of people. And someone like Zacchaeus would not be so out of touch with things that he wouldn't hear about the things. And he wanted to see Jesus. Here was this guy who everybody talked about. Well, he was short of stature. He wanted to see him, so he knew that Jesus was going to pass by that way. He couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree was a fig tree, a type of fig tree. And the limbs actually were very low to the ground. A fellow could climb up in a sycamore fig tree if it was one that was a pretty old tree, and one that had enough stout to climb into it. Whenever I talk about or think about a sycamore tree, I think about these huge white trees, you know, with the big leaves and all that we have. But that's not the sycamore tree that he climbed up in. It was a sycamore fig tree, low to the ground. But it was enough to give him enough height to be able to see. Now, I suppose this rich man had on some very nice clothes. You can imagine how funny it must have looked to see this man up in a tree. You might see a kid in a tree. You might see somebody else in a tree, but you wouldn't see somebody who was wealthy, somebody who was like he was. He must have been an educated man to be a tax gatherer. He must have been able to write. And so he had some schooling. He had some education. He had some things that other people didn't have, but he's up in a tree. Up in a tree, and he wants to see Jesus. Now, sometimes people want to see, but he's not the only one wanting to see. Jesus was passing that way, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, and he knew his name, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. That must have been a shocking statement for everybody. You come down, I've got to stay at your house. Well, he had a nice house, I'm sure. But for Jesus to go and eat with him meant that he was saying, okay, you're somebody that I can be around. Somebody that I want to be around. Now, here was the most despised man in Jericho, but Jesus, the teacher, the rabbi, the one who loved the Father, said, I want to stay at your house today. I want to go home with you. Well, it says that he hurried and came down, and he welcomed him. He received him gladly. He says, I'll love to have you come to my house. But that's not all he said. Well, when they saw it, the people all around began to grumble, because they didn't like Zacchaeus. They didn't want him around. And they said about Jesus, why, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner, a compromiser, somebody who raises money for Rome, somebody that rips us off. And Zacchaeus stopped. And he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will give back four times as much. Now, that's what the law required. I won't just pay you back. I'll pay you back four times as much. Well, after he did that, I think people began to stop and think, you know, this man is somebody who is authentic. He's real. He's real. And you know what? There is something about Jesus. There is something about being around him that the mask is removed. There's something about being around him that a person begins to take life very seriously and begins to be exactly what they should be, because here's Jesus. I'm not here to fool anybody. I'm not here to be something different. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. And Zacchaeus If I have defrauded anybody, I'll pay him back four times as much. That was Zacchaeus. That was Zacchaeus. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Now, that's quite a statement. And I suspect the people who grumbled would never have thought of Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. Maybe a son of Satan or a son of Rome or a son of Caesar, but not Abraham. But here was a man who wanted to do what was right. And Jesus said that the Son of Man has come, first of all, to seek and to save those who are lost. I always thought that was quite interesting. Sometimes people say, well, I'm searching for something. I'm searching for faith. I'm searching for religion. I'm searching for this. I'm searching for that. And they don't realize that the Lord is also searching for them. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I care about people and I'm searching for them and I'm looking for them and I'm wanting to be close to them. And I think that's such an important thing, that God is looking for you. That no matter who you are, you may be a Zacchaeus, no matter who you are, there is a place in the heart of Jesus Christ for you. There is a place in His heart that says, okay, I know you've got your problems, I know you've got your sins, but you know what? I'm here to win you too. You see, if Jesus could win a Zacchaeus, He could win anyone. If He could reach into the heart of a Zacchaeus and make a difference in his life, He can make a difference in your life too. Now, in the mind of the people, Zacchaeus was like a demon. But in the mind of God, you see, people don't think like God thinks. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We need to understand that God not only sees what we are, God sees what we can become. And that's the power of what it means to be able to draw close and to be having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to make somebody that everybody thinks is a demon into somebody. This is the son of Abraham. This is one of the faithful. This is a person in the covenant of God. And you know what? He can be saved. God can do something with him. So many times we live in a world where people look inside themselves and they don't see much. God made us all with a conscience, every one of us. And that conscience that's inside of us nags us and beats us up at times and tells us what bad people we are. Maybe you've had the experience somewhere in your lifetime where someone has just really shamed you and dressed you down for all of the mistakes that you've made and made you feel like you were nobody and you were worthless and you couldn't make any changes and you couldn't be any better and nothing could ever be of you. But here was somebody who, even though everybody grumbled at him, Jesus didn't grumble at him. Jesus gave him hope. Gave him hope that things could be better, that life could be better, that he could be freed from sin, that he could have the salvation that he longed for, that he could be accepted by God. I don't know whether you've ever been an outcast, but do you think anybody was inviting Zacchaeus to their house for dinner? Do you think anybody wanted to be his friend? He might have gotten along with his employees, the other tax collectors, but I suspect everybody else in town just kind of shunned him. And I think what a lonely existence he must have had prior to that time. But you know what? When you become a son of Abraham like Zacchaeus did, you become one of the family. Of the family. Being a Christian is the most wonderful thing in the world. Being a Christian means I have a Father who is in heaven. A Father who listens to my prayers. A Father who cares about me. A Father who is willing to reach down into my life and make a difference. When I think about being a Christian, I think about having a family. The church. You know, Jesus treasured and valued the church. I'll talk more about that tonight. But when I think about the church, and I think about the family, the church is made up of people. And they're made up of brothers and sisters who care about each other and watch out for each other and love each other and help each other. The business of the church was the business of Jesus, to seek and to save that which was lost. And the business of the church is for us to help one another go to heaven and to take as many people as we can with us. And it doesn't make any difference who you are, what your past has been, what people might think of you. Jesus values you and cares about you and wants you to be saved and to come to Him and to be part of the family. Part of the people that are right with God, a son of Abraham. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, it talks about being a son of Abraham and how that we are people who are in that promise that was made to Abraham. We're sons of the faithful. To be a Christian is to be a son of Abraham. To be in the family that God looks down and says, okay, you're among the faithful. There's coming a time in which I'm going to bring you home and I'm going to save you. And you're going to live with me forever and ever and ever. Oh, what it means to be a child of Abraham. What it means to be. Now I want you to see the difference in the last few minutes that we have of what took place in the life of Zacchaeus. Now I talked about the defrauding part of it. If I have defrauded anybody, I'll give four times back, four times as much. But did you hear the first part? He said, behold, Lord, half of my possessions, half of my goods, I will give to the poor. Don't you know that would have made a difference in the life of the people living in Jericho and the poor people at that time? I don't know how much Zacchaeus was worth, but he was rich. And that would have been no small gift to give half of his possessions to the poor. He cared about people. You see, whenever you recognize how much God cares about you, it makes you want to care about other people. I would imagine the people of Jericho, once they saw the change that took place in Zacchaeus, that here was a man who wanted to help them, that here was a man who wanted to be fair to them, here was a man who was generous and kind and good, that they began to look at him a little differently than they did before. God can transform your life if you will let Him, but you have to let Him transform you. You have to let Him into your life. And Zacchaeus did. I wonder what it would have been like to have gone home with Jesus to Zacchaeus' house. And I wondered what all they talked about that day. And I wondered if he didn't tell some of the same stories that he had told other places. Maybe the one we talked about yesterday, the parable between the Pharisee and the sinner, the tax collector, who couldn't look up to heaven. Maybe that was Zacchaeus. Have you ever thought about that? You know, one of the things that Jesus knows is your heart. I always thought it was so interesting that He called Zacchaeus by name. But of course, Jesus, being the Son of God, was able to see things and know things that we don't know and we can't see. But I wonder if He knew the ache that was in Zacchaeus' heart to be loved, to be accepted, to be cared for, and not so despised. All of us have gone through times when we felt like we didn't measure up and we weren't what we should have been. But when the Lord Jesus comes into our lives and He reaches out and He's able to touch and He's able to help and to heal those most inward longings, those greatest heartaches, and He's able to reach out into the hearts of people and lift them up and help them to see that there's something bigger and greater for them to be. That they don't have to be stuck in the old rut of being nobody and being hated and being despised and being rejected. That they can be one of God's people. That the Lord can love them and save them. What a difference it makes. And what a difference it will make in your life too, if you will let God work inside you. Tomorrow we'll be looking at another person that Jesus touched. And we're going to see some amazing things about how she touched other people. And we're going to learn a little more about the heart of God. You know, when you become a Christian, the thing that is so wonderful is to be in the heart of God. Well, my time is up, so I have to stop.